Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum. Celebrate the opening of I Saw It, Francisco de Goya Printmaker, with an evening of live music, art making, live model drawing, tours, and more. Saturday, April 20th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Info at nortonsimon.org.
I'm Julia Paskin. Join me as I talk with NPR's Sarah McCammon about her new book, The Ex-Evangelicals, Loving, Living, and Leaving the White Evangelical Church. That's April 25th at the Crawford. Tickets at las.com/events.
You've likely seen the video of an event that took place Tuesday night at a sushi restaurant in the Beverly Grove section of Los Angeles, where witnesses have claimed that a group of men came out of vehicles and attacked a group of men who were dining at that sushi restaurant. The allegation is that those who got out of the cars and came after the patrons of the restaurant made anti-Semitic slurs, and that's being investigated now by LA police as a potential hate crime. We're going to talk about the potential effects and real effects locally of the conflict in the Middle East, where there is now a ceasefire, but how events like that can play out in hateful behavior among conflicting groups here in Southern California. Joining us to talk about it from Cal State San Bernardino is the director of the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism, professor of criminal justice at Cal State San Bernardino, Professor Brian Levin. Professor, good to have you with us again. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
So let's talk first of all, again, this incident is under investigation. Have there been other attacks locally that appear to be linked in some way to the conflict in the Middle East?
Well, so far, LAPD has about a half a dozen complainants, most of which were related to the Beverly Grove case. And there are several others that they're looking at hate incidents, which may or may not be crimes. So, LA was already a little ahead of last year. But interestingly, just bear with me here, 2019 was a bad year for anti-Semitic hate crimes across the country, and in particular, L.A. The three largest cities, New York, L.A., and Chicago, number one target in 2019 were Jews. 2020, big decline owing to the pandemic and restrictions on gatherings. And so most recently, we saw a slight increase over last year for Los Angeles, but now May, you're going to see many more. Real briefly, April just came out. We just have data from LAPD overall hate crime, and it looks like at least a 10-year high, 59 hate crimes. But here's the thing. They have a great hate crime coordinator at LAPD implementing best practices, something we want to see throughout the state. So part of that bad month with regard to April is due not only to an organic increase in hate crimes, and we're seeing that across the country. New York is ahead, for instance, as well. But some of this is going to be due to increased reporting, increased efforts by the Human Relations Commission, for instance. But there is an increase as gathering restrictions end. And what we've seen just in closing here with regard to anti-Semitic incidents, listen to this. In the 90s, the worst month for anti-Semitic hate crimes in the United States was March 94, which followed right after the Hebron Mosque massacre. Then in the next decade, it was during the Intifada in October 2000. Last decade, listen to this, it was during conflictual midterm election time, October, November 2018. So both international events and domestic political catalysts reverberate into anti-Semitic hate crimes on the streets. And we had a decline last year after a bad year in 19, and it looks like that pause is ending.
We're talking with Brian Levin, director of the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism and professor of Cal State San Bernardino, a professor of criminal justice. You know, we had so many attacks against Muslim Americans here in the wake of 9/11, where people were targeted in communities across the United States. Have we seen any change in violence or hate crimes against Muslims or people of Palestinian background?
We're it looks like we're looking at an uptick in anti-Arab and perhaps, and we're still getting in more info, perhaps with regard to anti-Muslim. But last year was actually a better year. But remember, that's because of the gathering restrictions being imposed. Interestingly enough, what we generally see, and just bear with me, we saw a channel from 2002 to 2014. So 2001 was a bad time for both anti-Muslim and anti-Arab hate crimes. Then what we saw was this channel for the next 12 years. But in the middle of last decade, we saw a real increase around international conflicts, terror events, as well as some horrible political invective used against Muslims, particularly in 2015. So we saw a big rise, a head and shoulders top, 2015 through 2017 nationally, and then we saw a bit of a decline, but we haven't seen it get down to the levels of pre-2015. I hope I'm explaining this in a simple way. Bottom line is, mid-decade, last time we saw an increase, then we saw a decrease, but that decrease did not go down to the prior levels. And we're concerned when we see international events and we put out an advisory. When we have international events like this, we want civic leaders, law enforcement, and faith leaders to reach out to those communities, Israeli, Arab, Muslim, Jewish, to make sure that they know that they're not alone and that they are connected to the resources that they might need.
Well, you've set the table beautifully for what I hope this segment would be, because I think it's important to talk about all the people here in Southern California who work very hard and are very committed to local peace, even as their feelings are so strong about what they believe are wrongs taking place in the Middle East. And where do we go from here? I'd love to hear from listeners how your faith community is dealing with the conflict in the Middle East, any outreach that the faith community of which you're a part is taking with people of other faiths or you know, people with very strong feelings about what's happening in the Middle East. What are some of the ways that bridges are being built? We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. You can tweet at AirTalk, post on the AirTalk Facebook page, or post on the AirTalk page. When we continue, the president of the Muslim Public Affairs Council, Salam al-Mariati, will be with me. We'll also talk with Rabbi Naomi Levy, who'll be talking with us about her thoughts from a Jewish faith leader perspective, but I'd like to hear from you at 866-893-KPCC. Conflict in the Middle East and how that's being experienced here in Southern California. We'll be back in 90 seconds. In case you just joined us, there's some additional direction from the California Department of Public Health. Beginning June 15th, capacity limits will be done away with, as well as distancing requirements. That's effective June 15th, but there will still be some masking requirements in certain venues. Again, we'll have additional details coming up at 1 this afternoon. The first NPR feed of the day with Austin Cross, All Things Considered. That's coming up right here on KPECC. Joining me now, the president of the Muslim Public Affairs Council, a man who's been a guest on this program so many times over literally decades, Salam al-Mariati. Salam, very good to have you with us this morning.
Always good to hear your voice and leadership, Larry. Thank you.
Salam, let's talk first of all. You've been very outspoken about the Tuesday night event at the restaurant in Beverly Grove, and want to give you a chance to respond to that.
Sure. You know, what we saw on the video is nothing short of thuggery, and it's despicable, reprehensible, and we condemn it. And it is a hate crime when you target an individual because of their background, regardless if it's ethnic, racial, religious, and those individuals did not represent any of our organizations, whether it's a Muslim organization or a Palestinian organization or an Arab American organization, and in fact they did not represent anything having to do with the just cause for seeking statehood and human rights for the Palestinian people.
Salaam, how can we here in Southern California, people of different faith and different alliances with the participants in the conflict in the Middle East, come together? I mean, is the way to do that even at a time like this, when emotions are so fraught and people are feeling the pain and the loss of life that this conflict in the Middle East is extracting right now?
Yeah, it's been the issue for so long, Larry, and I think the only way to deal with that is the realization that we can only achieve a solution together. So often groups try to get their results, the results they want, at the expense of excluding the other side. But the reality is this is a global problem. This is a multi-ethnic, multi-faith issue. In fact, many times Christians are excluded from the conversation, even though they have definitely a stake in Jerusalem and in the Holy Land. So it's a requirement, really, that if you're serious about achieving a just solution in the Middle East, it must include everybody. And our government, unfortunately, has been one-sided to the exclusion of our community. But I think that's changing. I think that as horrific as what we've seen in the last 2 weeks, starting with the attack on the third holiest shrine in Islam, the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, during one of the holiest months, and on the holiest night, where we believe the Quran was revealed, the last 10 nights of Ramadan, we were devastated by that. And I believe that has really jolted people into action. And people are coming. We've seen, for example, courageous Jewish voices like Senator Bernie Sanders, people from J Street, a number of our allies here in Los Angeles in the Jewish community, as well as Black faith leaders, coming out very vocal on this issue. So it really requires everybody to realize that we have to achieve a solution together, not to the exclusion of anyone.
We're talking with the president of the Muslim Public Affairs Council based here in Los Angeles, Salaam Al-Mariati. Also with us is Rabbi Naomi Levy, who's the author of a number of books, including most recently Einstein and the Rabbi. She's founder and leader of Neshuva, a Jewish spiritual outreach movement based here in Los Angeles. Rabbi Levy, thank you for being with us again. Your thoughts about the potential here locally to help comfort each other across communities and to talk through the very, very strong feelings that people have about what's unfolded over the past 2 weeks.
Thank you so much, Larry. It's a joy and an honor to be with you again. And I just want to say that certainly there's a lot of fear in the Jewish community locally and all through the states right now with an uptick in hate crimes against Jews. And at the same time, we have to remember that there's been a lot of goodwill built up in dialogue between Jews and Muslims, thank God. And I think we have to lean into any kind of face-to-face organizations. Like, I'm just going to point to an organization called New Ground that's been working so hard to really focus on our common humanity. And as a rabbi right now, that's my goal, is to lean into praying for peace, praying for seeing our common humanity, understanding that these hate crimes are still very much in the minority, even though as Jews, we're always fearing what can happen with anti-Semitism, given what we've lived through. And I want to point to my husband, Rob Eshman, who wrote what I think is a brilliant piece in the LA Times about how, of course, because I'm very
no, it was
focusing on
very interesting piece
over conflict and how we can advance the cause of reconciliation. I can tell you that I'm planning an in-person outdoor service. And although up to now our focus has been fear about complying with COVID guidance, Now also there's a fear about needing, you know, enhanced security and fear of even revealing the location of that service. So definitely the Jewish community locally and nationally is on edge about that. And still, I'm going to go forward and lead an in-person live service. And the focus will be praying for peace, praying for an end to violence, praying for reconciliation, praying for hope, praying for understanding, and praying that we will all see that we're all God's children, and we all have the only way forward is together.
We're talking with Rabbi Naomi Levy, a founder and leader of Neshuva. Also with us, who happened to call in to join us, Ben in Granada Hills. I understand you're with New Ground, the organization that Rabbi Levy just mentioned. Oh, Ben, I'm sorry. My fault. I didn't have you clicked in. Sorry about that.
Yes.
Go right ahead. Yeah. So you're share with us what New Ground is doing.
Yes. Yeah, so we've really been hearing from a lot of members of our community a real expression of fear and anger and pain and trauma, both acute trauma from the current crisis and the compounded trauma that this conflict has wrought on our Muslim and Jewish communities for so long. We're really trying to hold space for our community members to come together and share their experiences of trauma and to share their stories. And we think it's really important that we all stay in these conversations at these acute moments to be able to hear one another and not just to talk about our similarities, but that we hold serious differences on these issues. Our experiences of trauma are not the same. Our Jewish community members' experience is very different from what our Muslim community members are experiencing right now. And it's important to share what those differences are, because that's how we're going to find a path through this by helping each other.
Ben, just real quickly before we break, how much harder is it to do that when you're in the midst of violence in the Middle East and people feel those differences at an even deeper emotional level?
It's very challenging. And I think as the previous speakers have pointed out, that the importance of work like what New Ground does, and we've worked in partnership with MPAC and with a number of other organizations in Los Angeles, is that we do this relationship building work over many, many years, so that when crises like this happen, we're not starting from scratch. We have relationships. We've tried to build bridges. We've tried to provide people with these kinds of tools of sharing narratives and hearing another story without losing hold of our own narratives. And those tools are really being tested right now.
We're talking with Ben of New Ground. Ben, you mind sharing your last name since you are a staff member with New Ground?
Yes, Ben Ginsberg. I'm the communications coordinator.
Great. Ben Ginsberg joining us from Granada Hills. Also with us, Rabbi Naomi Levy. We have Brian Levin, professor at Cal State San Bernardino, where he directs the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism, and the president of the Muslim Public Affairs Council, Salam Mariati. Over the years, he and I have had so many of these conversations about the huge challenge in our great local community to come together through very divisive and difficult times. I'd love to hear from you if you're part of any sort of interfaith effort to help people cope with the violence in the Middle East and the discord there, to process that here locally. We're at 866-893-KPCC. We'll be back in 1 minute. In case you just joined us, Dr. Mark Ghaly, the state public health director in California, said that come June 15th, California will no longer require social distancing and will allow full capacity for businesses. There will be some mask requirements that will continue after June 15th. And the state recommends come June 15th, organizers of outdoor events with more than 10,000 people require that those attending show verification they've been vaccinated or tested negative for the coronavirus. Those who can't or don't provide that verification should be encouraged to wear masks, according to Dr. Ghali. There'll be more information forthcoming. You'll hear it from Austin Cross in the KPCC newsroom on the 1 o'clock first NPR feed of the afternoon of All Things Considered. Let's talk with listener Ida, who joins us from Santa Ana. Ida, you're on Air Talk.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, so my background is, just for context, I kind of worked at the highest levels in federal government. I was the former deputy director of the Nixon Library. I'm, you know, a historian. And I've been troubled recently noticing the kind of the way history and media portrays the American Jewish experience. And this is partly what also fueled the discord with the ethnic studies piece, which is that the Jewish experience, there's a misbelief that the Jews are now completely kind of free of discrimination, that they've been subsumed into kind of white privilege, which I would consider as white Christian privilege. So what happens is anytime we, you know, a story about Jews or Jewish leaders, that part of their history is erased. And as a result, kind of erasing the fact that anti-Semitism does exist and kind of shapes our existence. And yet the FBI data, as we know, and I'm sure has been talked about for the past 30 years, puts Jews either by ratio or by actual numbers, Jews and Jewish institutions, as the number one targets of hate. And one example has to do with the LA Times, which I've been following a lot recently. And they don't mention people's Jewish background, like Douglas Emhoff, you know, our vice president's husband, but that's a big deal. Or for that matter, even Ruth Bader Ginsburg or Eli Broad. And so that's kind of problematic because that's a very important aspect that shapes, you know, that discrimination that they've experienced or the shadow of the Holocaust.
Ida, I'm sorry I need to break there because we have other people that want to talk, but I appreciate you sharing that thought that you feel that the anti-Semitism that we see often is downplayed. That's what I'm hearing you say, because the assumption is that Jews are so empowered that it's not the same as if someone else experiences a hate crime or denigration in the public sphere. I appreciate your call very much. That's Ida in Santa Ana. Also joining us is Rabbi Neil Comas Daniels of the Mar Vista area. Thank you very much, Rabbi. We appreciate your being with us. You might have a quick comment on our caller, Ida. Do you see it similarly?
Actually, I don't. Good morning, Larry, and thank you for this panel. Hi, salam, and hello to Lori, and hello to Brian, and hello to Rabbi Levy. Levy, it's nice to be with you. You know, I think that it's very easy to sink into despair over, as Salam said earlier, you know, some real minority hoodlums who are acting out in this kind of way. I think what we have to do is stay at the table with one another, as, you know, I have been in Muslim-Jewish dialogue for decades now. And we need to be able to tell each other what hurts. And we're much stronger together than we are cowering in fear away from one another.
All right. And do you think that what we're experiencing right now is going to deal a setback to that interfaith dialogue? Or do you think that it's strong enough, there are enough people committed to it, that it can survive this?
Oh, I'm absolutely sure that the dialogue is much stronger than anything these characters can do. Absolutely.
All right. Rabbi Neil Comas Daniels joining us from Mar Vista. Brian Levin, Cal State San Bernardino, let me come back to you and to put this in perspective. When we see a ceasefire, as was announced within the past few hours in the Middle East, does that bring down the heat typically locally, or are we able to look at the data that precisely?
Yeah, we actually have been able to look at day-by-day ticks in the past. Bottom line is getting a cessation to hostilities is key not only for peace in the Holy Land, but also for peace in the United States. When we have this kind of escalation over there, it reverberates here. And I think the kind of things, and by the way, let me thank Salam. He's always been great in condemning anti-Semitic acts of hate, and he's got an open invitation to Cal State. He knows that, and I think what was important, real quickly, what we did, you know, we talked about things that different community efforts. When you came to San Bernardino, for instance, and we had an interfaith dialogue going, San Bernardino did not have any anti-Muslim hate crimes in the city. We had a bunch around, but in the city after the terror attacks, because we had a faith community that came together, and in our center, we had the Martin Luther King of the Palestinian people, Dr. Izzeddin Abolesh, do our statement for us. So what I'm saying to you is,
yeah,
you have these structures where you have diversity and you have people at the table. It makes a big difference. And what also makes a difference is the cessation of these hostilities.
I'll never forget that program that we did, Brian, out there at Cal State San Bernardino. Thank you so much, Brian Levin, Director of the Center for the Study of Hate and Extremism, Cal State San Bernardino. My thanks to Salam al-Mariati, President of the Muslim Public Affairs Council, Rabbi Naomi Levy, and all our other guests over the course of this hour. Stay tuned. Film Week is coming up next on KPCC.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.